Let's open our Bibles, please, at 2 Corinthians chapter 3. There's a subject that I want to preach today that has been in my mind for some time, and it's just simply entitled, To Be Like Jesus. To Be Like Jesus. And just over a week ago, we were battling as to what we should preach last Lord's Day, and it was very clear between the two messages that I was thinking about and praying about, I had to preach the message going a little farther. And this is the other one that was on my mind, and the Lord has helped us as we have prepared for it, to be like Jesus, and I trust that the Lord will bless our meditation in this subject. But I want to read a few verses from 2 Corinthians chapter 3. We'll read from verse 12. It's not that I'm going to expound the chapter before us, or even the text particularly. I'm going to deal more with the subject, but the subject is in the text. And of course the text reveals the subject. Seeing then, verse 12 of 2 Corinthians 3, seeing then that we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech, and not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished. But their minds were blinded, for until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away, in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. And we're marking that last verse in particular, but we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. To be like Jesus. Who would you choose to be like if you got the opportunity? If you could be anybody you desired, what person would you choose? I'm talking to God's people here. I'm talking to those of you who profess Christ as your Savior. I'm thinking about you as Christians. One thing to be somebody else. And we trust, of course, it is somebody that's godly, who has been an example, who has been used by the Lord, lovely in their character, sweet in their influence. Who would it be? I'm sure there's no Christian here who would desire to be like the world, like the worldly person. The pop stars, the sports personalities, the film icons, or any other unconverted worldly personality in this present evil world. I'm sure there's no Christian would think that way. But who would you like to be like? What about Bible history? Maybe somebody would say, I'd like to be like Abraham. Abraham, the man of faith, father of the faithful, especially singled out in Hebrews 11. For his faith, more is said about Abraham and his faith than any other character in the great chapter that deals with faith. And you say, well, I'd like to be like Abraham. I'd like to be a man that believed God, for that's what Abraham was known principally for. Someone else might say, well, I'd like to be like Moses, the meekest man of all the earth, and to have that meek, gentle, quiet character and personality. Someone else might suggest David. He was the man after God's own heart. Would not be a worthy characteristic to be found in all of our lives.
I want to be a man. I want to be a woman after the heart of God. Someone might say Elijah, the prophet of fire, the fearless giant that stood on Mount Carmel and dealt with the prophets of Baal. Maybe you'd like to deal with the prophets of Baal in your day and generation. Someone else might say John the Baptist. He was the New Testament Elijah. He was forthright in his preaching. He was the forerunner of the Savior. And maybe you would like to be like John. Jesus says of those among those born of women, there was not a greater that rose than John the Baptist. What a mighty man of God he was. Someone else might say, well, I'd like to be like Peter. Yes, he had his faults and he had his failings. But look at him there after Pentecost, the Holy Spirit coming upon him. How mightily used he was in the winning of the lost. Thousands of people converted through his ministry. I'd like to be just like Peter in this. Or I'd like to be Barnabas. Barnabas is the son of consolation. In fact, that's what his name means. He was that kind of Christian that was an encourager. He would put his arm around another and encourage them in the Christian life. You remember whenever Saul of Tarsus was converted and the believers at Jerusalem were suspicious about him, didn't believe that he was truly converted, thought he was trying to infiltrate the church and find out who the Christians were so that he could imprison them and probably put them to death. Barnabas was the one that put his arm around Saul of Tarsus and brought him into the fold and encouraged him. Somebody else might say, well, I would like to be like Paul, the great missionary. And there's no doubt that Paul was used in the salvation of the lost, in the establishing of many, many churches. And I would like to have Paul's burden, what a burden he had for those who knew not Christ. I would like to have had the opportunities that were given to him. I would like to have that intimacy with Christ that Paul knew. But then I wouldn't really like to be stoned. And I wouldn't like to be shipwrecked. And I wouldn't like to be put in prison. Now, if that comes your way, that's the way the providence of God has it. But remember, when you say, I want to be like Paul, there were some other things in Paul's life that you wouldn't want to experience. We always think about the positive things, don't we? And the good qualities. Maybe it's somebody in church history. Like John Knox, the great reformer, Scottish reformer. Or C.H. Spurgeon, the great preacher in London. Or D.L. Moody, the great evangelist who won tens of thousands of hundreds of thousands of people to Christ during his ministry. Or William Carey, the great missionary. Or Charles Wesley, the great hymn writer. And no doubt to be like these great heroes of the faith would be an achievement. If we could just be half the men in our day that they were in their day, I believe that would be a great influence in society, to possess their qualities and their abilities and their knowledge and the vision that they had and the courage that they had oft times. And no doubt we should learn from them and seek their good and godly graces and virtues. On one occasion, Paul said, be ye followers of me, even as also I am of Christ. And Paul says, follow me. Follow me, take my example. But of course, the words followed as I am of Christ, and that was the key. What you see in my life that represents Christ, follow it. That's what Paul was saying there. And there's nothing wrong with that. If you see something worthy as far as Christian character is concerned in a family member or some friend that you have, or maybe an elder in this church or the minister, if you see that, by all means, emulate it. But you can do much, much better than that. Better than looking to Abraham. Better than looking to Moses or David or Peter or Paul or Spurgeon or Moody or any other character that I've mentioned, or the elders or the minister of this church. You can look to Christ. He is our example in all things. If you want to be more heavenly, if you want to be more happy, if you want to be more holy and more helpful, look to Christ. Do you know why we haven't got the influence in society the way that we should? Do you know why we're not leading our families to the Savior?
you know why our friends are not being won to Christ? Well, here's one of the reasons. They are not seeing enough of Christ in you and me. I often pray over that wee chorus, "Let the beauty of Jesus be seen in me." And it is a prayer that we ought to make oft times. Now one day we're going to be like him. That's what John, the beloved disciple, wrote about when he wrote his first epistle. And in that beautiful verse, and it's one of my favorite chapters in the Bible, of 1 John chapter 3 and verse 2, he says, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God." Right now, you're a Christian, you're a son of God, a daughter of God, right at this moment in time. We are now the sons of God. "And it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is." But speaking about the coming of Christ, when Jesus returns to this earth again in power and glory, that day when believers in the grave and those who are alive shall be caught up together to meet the Lord at his coming in a moment's time, we will be changed in the twinkling of an eye, changed into the very glorious image of Jesus Christ. We're going to be like him on that day. No doubt whatsoever about it. All the rough edges will be knocked off. All the inconsistencies will be taken away. All the bad examples will be removed forever. That old temper that mars the testimony of some of God's people will be gone for good. That gossipy tongue that assassinates the character of other of the Lord's people, that will disappear. That double-minded heart that makes a person nothing more than an old hypocrite in the eyes of the world, it'll be taken away. But we must not wait until then. You see, my friend, sanctification makes us more like Christ now. We are justified and we are sanctified. And both of those things happen here upon the earth. Justification being the act that puts us into Christ and saves our souls. Sanctification being that work day by day, living unto God, dying to self, dying to sin, dying to the things of this world, being more conformed to the Lord Jesus Christ. If you and I are not day by day being conformed into the image of Christ, becoming like him in every way, it's doubtful that we've been saved in the first place. Months, even years can pass by for some of the Lord's people, and yet there's very little change. There's very little progress or advancement. Very little becoming more like Christ. Now, something's radically wrong if that's the case. Let me just mention a few scriptures. I don't know how far I'll get in this message today. It may be just the introduction because we have the Lord's table and we have preparation to make a little for tonight. But let me just read some scriptures to you in this introductory part of the message. First of all, in Colossians and the chapter 3 and verse 10. "And have put on the new man." The previous verse is reminding us that the old man is being put off. He put off the old man with his deeds. This is what happens in conversion. "And have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him." Becoming more like Christ. After the image of the Creator. That's what we're to be like. In Philippians chapter 3 and verse 21, it says, "Who shall change," and again, this is speaking about future, but there ought to be the application for now, "who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself." Now we're going to be like Christ on that day. We're going to be changed in our very body into our glorious body, our glorified body, if you like. That's going to be like the Savior. But we're not to wait until then, as I've said. Ephesians and the chapter 4 and verse 13. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 13, "till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And one other reference in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 10, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. That the life of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. All these verses are speaking to you and I as God's people about being like Christ. Now, before I talk to you about what Christ was like and outline some of the essential marks that were found in him that ought to be found in us, let me tell you something that's fundamentally important. You and I have been saved to be like Christ. I want you to take that into your mind, into your heart. Take it home with you. You and I have been saved to be like Christ. If we are not being made like Christ, then it must be said we don't belong to Christ in the first place. We talk about family resemblances, family likenesses. It's not always the case, but some people will say you're like your mother, you're like your father, and they see the likeness of your parents or your grandparents in you. You're like them. Maybe that's a good thing, maybe it's not. Maybe it's a compliment, maybe it's an insult, I don't know. But there is the family likeness. And if it's not in the looks, it's going to be in the personality. It's maybe going to be even in the way we walk. I was never told it until the other day, but one of my sons, and I'll tell you which one, was walking side by side with me. A comment made by another member of the family was, you know, the two of you just walk the same way. And maybe you've got a son like that, Father. There's the likeness. My friend, if God is our Father and Jesus Christ is our elder brother, we're going to have the likeness of God. We're going to have the likeness of Christ in our lives. And he has died upon the cross and saved us so that we might be like him. In salvation, we put on Christ. Ephesians 4 and 24. In salvation, we are conformed, conformed to his image. Romans 8 and verse 29. In salvation, we are to follow his steps. 1 Peter 2 verse 21. And Jesus says, learn of me, follow me, do as I have done. I speak often about the Christ life, of being like him. And may it be so. There is not a more powerful sermon that you could ever preach to the lost in a dying world than to be like the Savior. That the beauty of Christ is seen in you. There is not a greater influence for good in this whole world than being like Christ. There's not a better example that you can give to your family members and to your friends that you're seeking to win to Christ than to live the Christ life before them. There's not a higher life before the ungodly of this world that you can live. There's not a more genuine way to win the lost to the Savior than being like him. And at this mission time, when we're seeking to bring the lost to the Savior, when we're trying to have power and persuasion and influence over others, just even to get them into the meetings, let alone get them to Christ, and the ultimate aim is to get them to Christ, is to see them saved, but seeking to have that power, that influence over their lives, to get them in under the sound of the gospel, my friends, I want to tell you, there's nothing more powerful than living the Christ life before them. And this is the way we ought to be living every day. Not just at mission times. Not just when special meetings are coming up. But 24/7, every day, we ought to be living like this. It is when our family sees Christ in us. Sitting at the table at home. The meal table. Every conversation that we enter into, everything that we do before our families, just sitting there where we are known in the home, at the meal table, or going around our daily chores in the house, just where we are with our families, if we're living for Jesus Christ, living the Christ life, the beauty of Jesus being seen in us, I'll tell you, that's the most powerful, influential thing in your life that will bring your loved ones to the Savior. It is when our friends observe Christ in us that they will be won. You know what our text says in 2 Corinthians 3 and verse 18. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. As Christians, we have the privilege of seeing God, of seeing the glory of God. And we see this glory of God, Paul tells us as he writes here to the Corinthians, as in a glass or a mirror. That's what he's talking about here. More clearly than any of the Old Testament saints ever saw the glory of God. It was the unique privilege of Moses, I must say, to converse with God face to face. You read about that in the book of Exodus, about Moses conversing with God, or God conversing with Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend. But I tell you, not every Old Testament believer had that privilege. Moses did. Face to face with God. Saw the glory of God. As much of the glory of God as he was able to see without dying on the spot. And my friends, every single child of God today sees the glory of God more perfectly than ever before. He shows us his glory. And how does he do that? By looking to Jesus Christ. This is done through our meditation of him and his word. And so how important is the study of the scriptures, as we take the word of God down every day to meditate in the Bible. And as we meditate in the scriptures principally speak about Christ from the beginning right to the end. Christ in all the scriptures. And as we see Christ in God's word, we are beholding the glory of God. We are seeing him. As a result, we are changed into the same image from glory to glory. What does that mean? Well, it means we become Christ-like. This transformation begins now on earth in this life. We don't have to wait until that day when we shall see him as he is. The day of our glorification. The day when in a twinkling of an eye we're changed and we're like the Lord. We don't have to wait until that day. But right now, we ought to be becoming like the Savior as we behold the glory of Christ in the mirror of his word, looking into the scriptures, seeing Christ, that glory being reflected. My friends, we are progressively changed into the same image. We're speaking about Christ-likeness. And so the challenge of this message, the burden of this message, and I'm not going to go much further today. I'm not going to come to the points that we have in the announcement sheet. We'll deal with that the next time. But the great challenge, therefore, to those of us who are saved, especially those among us who have known the Lord the longest. I know I'm talking to some in this meeting and you've only been saved a few months or maybe a few years. But there's others in this service today and you have been saved for decades. Those who have been saved the longest particularly. The great challenge is this: are we like him? And by the way, whether you've been saved a few months or several decades, there ought to be the resemblance of Christ in you. It ought to be more apparent in those who have lived the longest with Christ in the great sanctifying work of the Spirit that is conforming you more to the image of Christ. But are you like him? Have we seen that evident transformation? Has there been that growth in grace? That sanctifying work? That reflecting of the holy image of God? Is the beauty of Jesus to be observed in you and me? That Christ-likeness. Day by day, moment by moment, we are becoming more like Jesus. Through our diligent study of the Holy Scriptures, and by the operation of the Holy Spirit, we are more and more conformed to the image of Christ. Charles Wesley spoke of this in his hymn that we sang earlier, Love Divine, all loves excelling. This is what he says in the final verse. It's based upon our text. Finish then thy new creation, pure and spotless may we be. Let us see thy great salvation perfectly restored in thee. Change from glory into glory. Till in heaven we take our place. Till we cast our crowns before thee, lost in wonder, love, and praise. Change from glory into glory. My friend, is that change taking place in your life? As one who knows Christ as Savior, to be like Jesus. Conform to his image. Made like him. And we're going to see what it is to be like Jesus in our words, the things that we say. And to be like Jesus in our works, that's the things that we do. What it is to be like Jesus in our walk, that's our character, what we are, holiness of life. And to be like Jesus in our worship, having a love for the place where we meet with God, whether it's privately at home or publicly at the house of God. And so the burden of this message will simply be, are we like him? Oh, to be like Jesus. May the Lord help us to be like Jesus today as we go from this place, as we sit around the Lord's table, as we go home to our families, as we live the Christ life before them, that they might see something of the loveliness of our Savior in us today. Because I'll tell you, nothing will win them more. Nothing will see them brought to Christ more than that life that is lived like the Lord, to be like Jesus.